Welcome aboard, elevator enthusiasts and curious minds alike. You're tuned in to the Going Up Podcast, the ultimate destination for all things elevators. I'm your host, Zara Shea Julay, and I am joined by the dynamic duo of elevator aficionados, Bobby Haskett and Josh Anderson. Get ready for a joyous journey into the vertical world, where we'll be lifting the lid on elevator stories, chatting with industry experts, and exploring the cutting-edge innovations that keep us all moving on up. This is the Going Up Podcast, your weekly pass to the heights of elevator excitement. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Going Up. We are excited for another week of great topic, great conversation. This week, we are going to be talking about customer expectations. Ooh. Yeah. It's a really good, it's going to be great. It's going to be something that applies to everybody. It's going to be a lot of really good stuff in this podcast. So be sure to listen all the way to the end, my friends, as you do every single podcast. I know you do. So keep it up. Okay. So first, we're going to start things a little bit different here, guys. We're going to switch it up. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to start with something that we're calling hot tip. That's right. It's going to be like Nelly, you know, hot tip. And a little bit of, that's right. Wow. For those of you, I hope you're watching the video, cause that was, it was great. So Bobby is going to give us a hot tip for the week. So lay it down for us, Bobby, and customer expectations. Give us the hot tip takeaway.
The hot tip takeaway today is going to be this. Set down, put on your seatbelt, because you might wreck. Keep 10 and 2 on the wheel. You ready?
That's right.
It's going to be this. No matter what industry you're in, find the weakness in the industry that your customers is not receiving.
Yeah.
Mold your business into providing that fix for them.
Yeah.
And organically, it will cause the rest of the industry to rise to the occasion. And at the end of the day, it's going to always take care of the customer.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Boom. Ooh, with a little bit of and a little bit of
So you're saying, so Bobby, you're essentially saying to, it doesn't, you don't have to recreate the wheel. Just find out what's not going on and do it different. Do it better.
You know.
Take a different angle.
Absolutely. And to give the audience a little bit of backstory, you know, and you heard this in our earlier podcast, so I won't spend too much time on this, but in the very beginning when we decided to start Fabicab, all I done for 6 months is went out to eat with superintendents, mechanics, and sales reps. My biggest factor of doing that was I wanted to find what the industry was missing in the interior realm. And it was very, very evident to me after that. So Josh was like, hey man, easy fix, Bobby, let's fix these top three things. And I think that everything will follow, and how right he was on that.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Boom. That's the truth. That's right. I love it. Right. Boom. Bam. I think as Bobby did it last week. Okay. Once again, so sorry. Our producer Juan is going to have to edit that out. Sorry for everyone listening in your cars who probably just had a miniature heart attack like I did and have veered off the road. We are not held responsible. So, guys, setting good expectations builds a trust between you and the customer. It also, this is another thing, helps to ensure, and don't I took this from an article because I thought it was so good. It also helps to ensure that the customer's expectations are met, which leads to positive experience and higher customer satisfaction. So that's what we're going to be deep diving into today, guys. Beautiful. The customer expectations. Let's get it.
Let's go. Come on, dive in.
Okay. So let's define the characteristics of customer expectations in today's landscape. Like how is it different today than it was before? Josh, I'm going to go to you. Talk to me a little bit about this.
Okay. So how's it different?
Yeah. Like how is it, like how is it
I'm
evolved?
I'm
going to
come at it from, here's what I think. I think everybody is, way more impatient. And I think that's, you know, social media and just instant, like you can order something on Amazon and it comes at the end of the day or the next morning. Like people are just so used to getting things right now. And probably in our industry, and I would say this is probably what more people can relate to, end user has less of an understanding of what it takes to get a product like an elevator interior. What Fabricab does. So
they're like, yeah, like a week, say, right?
Yeah. They're like, oh, sure. So I would just say what I've seen change probably is the expectation of how fast they should expect it. And a lot of times it's more unrealistic.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So I've seen that evolution, I think, just in our decade of Fabricab.
Right. On the flippity flop of that, though, because you have the people that expect it to, you know, oh, it's just going to take a week and it'll be here. And going back to Bobby's hot tip, there have been companies, and not just in our industry, in every industry, that we always, something I always like to say, we always give true lead times, we give true information on when you can expect it, because we do not want to overpromise and underdeliver.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies out there that will feed you false promises and will underdeliver. And that's just a fact of the world. And all of us, it just, the world in general saw a huge issue when it came to lead times and things like that. Us at Fabricab, we were actually very lucky that we never had to change our lead times from the time we started Fabricab. It's been the same since then. But a lot of people saw with supply and demand, you know, all that stuff, there's a huge delay that came along. And with that, a lot of those companies never expressed, communicated that delay to their customers. Therefore, they underdelivered, underperformed, and put their customers in a bad spot, completely annihilating all the expectations. So, yeah, absolutely. And so in the age of technology, because Josh, you were talking about this, with technology nowadays, we see how it kind of creates that instant gratification and the issue for that, but how can we as companies, as individuals, how can we be using that to feed into customer expectations, like to create those or make them have a better experience?
Yeah. So one thing I'd like to jump in on this one is calling people back. Z'll tell you and Josh both. It's a very, very trigger topic for me. Mm-hmm. Because there's no excuse here at Fabricab. We have a 24-hour communication guarantee that we take very, very serious. It's one of the top three things that I look at with reps.
Not get an answer in 24 hours, but you will hear from someone.
That's right.
24 hours,
That's right. Because, you know, and what you asked earlier, Z, from, you know, what has changed, you know, and I'm going to go a little bit, me being a little bit older than everybody, I'm going to tell you what I've seen change tremendously is when I was growing up, obviously no internet, no cell phone, stuff like that. When someone would call and say that I'll be at your house at 4 p.m. For an appointment for, let's just say, an air conditioning company. They're there at 10 till. If they say they will call you the following day at 3:30, the phone rings at 3:30. Where it is today, and I really can't put my finger on where that has been lost, but they don't think it's a problem that they don't return the phone call. And I cannot tell you how much work we pick up because of unresponsiveness. So the people that are being unresponsive in our industry, we appreciate it and continue to do that.
Keep it up.
But as far as, you know, on our end, remember how, you know, in the last episode, we spoke a little bit about genuineness. Mm-hmm. Here's the way I treat it. My word, I was raised that all you have in this world is your word. And if I give somebody my word on something, you can take it to the bank that I will. If I tell you I will call you tomorrow at 3 o'clock, there is no excuse. You will get a call from me tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And it is, what is crazy to me is 20 years ago, that was the norm. Today, it is the exception. Hmm. So, you know, I think, at least in my mind, is that doing, you know, say and do what you're going to. If you tell someone something, do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, period. And everything else will follow.
Yeah. I wonder, Bobby, as you were talking about that, I was just thinking about this. I wonder how much can be attributed to what I call the age, not what I call, I think it's a general thing, the age of busyness. There's a weird, there's become a weird fascination and consumption.
People wear it as a
with
bad,
being,
badge of
yes,
honor.
Yes, exactly. And so
I'm busy.
I'm just like, I'm like so busy. And like, I just got so much stuff. I just don't have time to do like any, I don't even have time to shower. And I'm like, why is it a badge of honor? Exactly what you said, Josh. So I wonder, I do wonder like how much that attributes to almost like a, I was just so busy. I, you know, so many things happening. I didn't have a chance to call you back until now. There's just so much going on. And I have to say, I don't think that any of us here personally wear it as a badge of honor, but I think that all of us kind of fall into that sometimes because it's easy. It's easy to be, because it's true. All of us are busy. It's just a fact of life, you know? We all do this. We all work here at Fabicab full time. We also all have families, you know, and we have places and homes that we got to take care of and stuff like that. It's so easy to fall into the busy, and we all travel for work, you know, which just adds to the busyness and stuff like that. So I kind of wonder how much that plays into. It's almost that badge of, hey, I didn't get to call you back because I'm so busy, because there's so many people that want my attention or something. Yeah.
You're lucky that I called you back.
Is it here is my argument to that.
Yeah.
And Z hears it a lot in the sales meetings. Are you busy or distracted? Okay, and let me tell you, now I don't disagree,
yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people out there, and I know Josh, you and Z is going to poke fun and laugh. Other than LinkedIn, I have no social media. I refuse to get into that realm because to me, it is nothing but wasted time.
And
distractions. And what I mean is today the world is filled with so much more distractions than were 20 years ago. So, you know, I would encourage everyone that thinks they are busy and don't have anything to do, dissect your day. You know, I had a mentor one time tell me that. Dissect your day and really find out, is it distraction?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, admittedly so, there is a lot of distraction.
I mean, I've heard before, like, what's important to you? So let's just look at it from a position of your career, your job.
Yeah.
Whatever's important to you can be visualized through how you spend your time and how you spend your money.
You know what I mean? That's the truth.
So if you spend your money on XYZ, that's probably something that's very important to you. If you spend all your time on XYZ, that's important to you. So if you look at it from a career perspective and you spend all of your time, let's apply this to sales, hunting for new work, which is a great thing, but you don't do any account management, you know, you have to weigh those things and try to figure out like what is important to you. Well, what's important to me as a sales rep is to be a fully developed sales rep, which means I need to spend a third of my time hunting, a third of my time making sure that those clients are, their projects are taken care of, and then a third of my time managing communication and doing all the things that go along with that.
Yeah.
So if you have that imbalance, then but Bobby's right. Like if you start getting distracted by all of the things, because even in this world, like, okay, we're supposed to check LinkedIn. We're supposed to check our email. We're supposed to check in to whatever inner communication your team has. You're supposed to check your text messages. You're supposed to make sure that your voice or your cell phone is there. It's like there's so many means of communication now. Not even in personal life with social media like Facebook and Instagram. I'm just saying like on a daily basis, I have probably 6 different ways people can get a hold of me. That takes a lot of energy and time to make sure that you're watching that. So I can see how people can get distracted by those things. And going back to your point, then ignore what it is they're supposed to be doing. And that is getting back with their customer or prioritizing your job. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I think this, Josh, I think that when you look at the big picture, and we all have such a large customer base, I think something that is monumental, no matter what industry you're in, get with the customer and find out what means of communication works best for them.
Yeah, that's good. That's really
I've got many that say, "Hey, Bobby, listen, man, just text me." I have some others that say, you know, and you know what's so funny to me that I've realized over the past decade of us being in this industry is most people don't want emailed. They go, "Bobby, I'm getting 100 emails a day."
That's their to-do list. That's how most people use it.
And they just say, "Hey, I got tons," but I love and I recommend that all you reps out there that's listening, ask your customer a very direct question. "Hey, Mr. Customer, how would it best benefit you for me to communicate with you?" And then be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's just setting all of that communication up for success. Because in talking about texts, or, you know, Josh said there's like 6 different ways people can get a hold of you. What best way will they communicate? Because also, what best way will they receive that information and reply and give the information that you need back? All of that falls into the customer expectation. Hey, you really like text? Okay, then you can expect that I will try to communicate primarily through text.
If you want an immediate answer from me, you call me. If you want an answer today, you text me. If you want an answer in the next 2 days, you email me. Like, and you see what I mean? Like, that's what I think a lot of people have to do, because you have to put those into prioritization, right? Yeah. And it's hard to do because there's just so much. You know, you reach out to me on LinkedIn, it's probably going to be a month. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't check it that often.
Yeah,
so being realistic is, but Bobby's so right. How do you want me to communicate with you? What's the most effective thing? And I know, like, if we're changing a project detail, I'm going to email you because you're going to want that documented. But if I have a quick question, I'm going to text you that question. Yeah. And if it's something that, hey, I'm standing in front of the engineer and they need to have an answer right this second, I'm calling you. So, you know, if I'm calling you, I need you to answer, because I'm not going to I'm not going to abuse that either.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to call you every.
Yes.
Every day.
And I want to say this, that it puts more weight in a phone call. Let me give you an example. My whole book of business. And today, if I call you or if I email you, they're going to respond to me. And here's why. I'm not shooting them 3 emails a week or calling them 3 times a week. I have it have some weight to it, you know. And I think a lot of times that it is people being selfish and lazy to only want to communicate what works best for the salesperson, not your customer.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's very true. That is very true. And I think that all of this, the personalization, applies not only to one-on-one, like us as a salesperson with our customer, but it also applies to the business as a whole. I know, you know, the way that we communicate with our customer, you know, at different points in the sales process, I know that we have personalized that and have learned and honed in how to personalize that over the years as well, and utilizing technology to leverage that for ourselves too. Bobby, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I've got some customers of mine that has just been very blunt with me. And what's nice is when you're genuine, like, you'll hear me preach over and over in these podcasts. Yeah. If you're just genuine, they feel comfortable going, "Hey, Bobby, I don't need you to email me. I've got some customers that say, hey, Bobby, I don't need you to email me and check on projects. If I get it, it's coming to you every time. So what I hear is you're too busy to go through the email on that because you're getting 100 other emails. I will conform to that, and I will change that communication to when I see you in person, we can talk about what's going on with the jobs.
Because that's the key. Mm-hmm. You still need to get what you want. You need the information.
That's right.
But you know that you're in that person's office enough that I'll just get it. I'll just get it when I talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So
yeah, that's true. I do want to kind of bounce back a little bit to the business aspect of it. And Josh, I want you to speak on this because you have been very monumental in how Fabicab, how we communicate to our customers at different points along the way. I want you to just kind of talk about how we have adapted how we communicate with our customers over time throughout Fabicab's lifespan.
Yeah, no, I think so we're very intentional about how we communicate in general. And I think to Bobby's original hot tip for today of what we're trying to do is make sure that we address the need that they have. So we enter the space and we quickly recognize and we hear from customers, I don't know, I ordered it and I think they said 10 weeks, 12 weeks, something like that.
Yes.
And I'm at 14 weeks and I don't have the package. Like they have no idea where, and let's talk specific interiors, right? Mm-hmm. They had no idea where it's at.
Yeah.
And so for us, we very quickly realized there's an area for us to improve here. And I, to my point of like not recreating the wheel, we didn't need to develop something brand new. We just needed to look at it and say, hey, all they need is exactly what you receive from Amazon. You place the order and it says, okay, it's being packaged. And okay, it moves to the next little box and it's like, oh, it's being shipped. And it goes to the next little box. And it's like, it's three states away. And it goes, you know, they want progress updates. And that helps you as a consumer understand like what's going on. And so for us, we were just very intentional of, we need to make sure that we're communicating and setting the expectation. If we tell you 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks, you can expect it in that 2 week window. And we're going to, and if it changes, you're going to know ahead of time because we've communicated on a regular basis with you. But finding that balance of what was too much information or too much communication and not enough information, that's when we had to go out and, you know, source some of those, that feedback to know what was right for our customer base. So yeah, we're very intentional about the way we communicate with our customer.
And, you know, for the other businesses and the other industries listening to us now, I want to be very, very transparent on this. Very rarely do we get it right the very first time. And what I mean by that is Josh had a concept. He said, let's try this. And what it is today versus what we thought it needed to be in the beginning.
Very different.
Very different. So very different. Be okay with, I really don't know what the right thing is, but the right thing is making a decision to do it. Mm-hmm. And then adjust as you go through to see at the end of the day, you're constantly massaging. It's what we say. And then it'll get to a point where it's perfect.
If you know what the problem is, like if you know what the problem is and the problem was they weren't having anyone communicate with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just got to fill in that gap. We don't know what that gap is, but as Bobby said, we just massaged it and we change it and we let people know like, hey, we thrive off of feedback and what do the customers want and how, and then we'll adjust and we change things because we want to accommodate the customer and make sure that they are our priority, but at the same time, ensure that we are also getting what we need and saying, hey, we've been very upfront with the expectation. There should never be any gray area and there should be no confusion on what we're doing. You spend a lot of money with us. It's our job to make sure you know what's being done with those dollars at any given moment throughout the that 8 to 10 week lead time. It's our responsibility to make sure you know what your dollars are working toward.
How do you think, as a business that we balance that, what the customer expects versus what we are saying that we will offer? How do you balance that?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, you're going to tell them right off the bat that you are going to set a lot of people. I'll give you an example on SD so our audience understands this a little bit better.
Yeah.
Most assumptions, like Josh said, is, oh, 3 weeks I can get an interior. I'm just so the step one is educating our customer.
Yeah.
So they are better prepared to educate their end user customer and to explain why it takes so long. Mm-hmm. What's so funny, and me and Josh have had these conversations where it's like, if someone just tells you 8 to 10 weeks, that don't set well with me. But if someone says 8 to 10 weeks, and the reason being is because all these are custom made for that particular elevator, and they explain the reasoning why, no one ever has a problem with it. You know, so it's more, you know, it's like customer surveys. I've always got a kick out of this. I love when companies send you a survey and say, hey, man, how was our service? Good, bad, or rate it to 1 to 10. That's all they do. That to me makes absolutely no sense. You have to educate them first, make sure they totally understand the full scope of things before they can answer a survey correctly. You know, anything you want to add to that, Josh? Because I know that that was a big topic for us a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, I would say to address Zaire's question of like, it is a balancing act. To Bobby's point, you have to, we need to prioritize the customer's expectation. And we obviously are a company that focuses on customer satisfaction, what their experience, the customer's experience. But that's a balance. We also have to make sure that we as a company, our staff, our vendors are getting everything that they need as well. And so just as much as I would say establishing a clear timeline and explaining, as Bobby said, and training that customer for what they should expect, it's just as much for the customer as it is all of those other stakeholders, the customers and the vendors, because our job as kind of that the manufacturer, we got to protect both, right? We're all here for the customer. But if we're bending to the whim of the customer every single time, you're going to tick off your vendors. And so it is this game of like, you know, hey, I would love to be able to give that to you in 4 weeks. And in a perfect world, that would be what I would strive to do, but it's impossible because this is what my vendor expects and this is what my vendor needs. And so it is, to your point, it's a balancing act. So yes, we're customer focused, but we're not necessarily driven by the customer. The customer doesn't drive the bus at Fabicab.
That's right. But we're
motivated to serve them well. And we're motivated to serve our vendors well and our employees well and everything in between. So it's a balancing act.
Fabicab's always, we've always very much, even from the beginning, we talked about being partners with our customers, with our vendors, with, you know, even internally, partnering together to accomplish things. And accomplishing a thing, one of those things, is customer expectations. So how do you, we've been talking in general, but I want to kind of hone in some tips that people can walk away with. Like, let's talk about tips for creating and establishing realistic expectations. And we can talk about from salespeople, from that perspective, also as as a business, as a whole. Let's talk about some solid tips. And I'll throw out the first one. I would say, and Bobby, this was probably stealing Bobby's because he preaches this so much. but it is write it down. If there's an expectation, not only saying it out loud, but writing it down. There have, and I can guarantee you almost every, I know all of us have had this experience, and almost every salesperson out there has had this experience. Not even a salesperson, just a human in general. If there is an expectation that's been established, say, where you're going to get this product, this mug, I'm going to order it and ship it to you within 2 weeks, right? And then there's no communication, nothing written down. It was just a verbal, right? And then 2 weeks go by, I don't have it. A third week goes by, I don't have it. The problem is there was nothing.
Did my credit card go through? Did yes, they receive exactly. my order?
Yeah.
Did
and I do heard, it right? Yeah. Yeah. I haven't heard anything that anything's yeah. wrong or anything like that. And it could be any number of things. Could be lead time for mugs is really long, you know, or something like that. But it is for the benefit of protection of you and the benefit of all parties involved, writing that down and sending it. Bobby's a huge proponent of this. Like, we do, we call them client design sessions. Shout out to client design sessions. Love client whoop, whoop. Design sessions. Whoop, whoop. I'm sure we'll talk more about them at some point. But client design sessions, just super quickly, is talking with a client about the design for their project, for their building. And that's what a client design session is. And we partner with elevator companies to do these. With that, the thing that Bobby always talks about is after that meeting is over, type up an email saying, this was the to-do list that we talked about. This is what I need from you guys. This is what you can expect from me. And this is a general timeline of what that might be. If it's a rendering, you can expect that rendering between 5 to 7 business days or 7 to whatever it is, creating that expectation. And going back to what I think Bobby mentioned this earlier, or maybe we were just talking about it earlier in general. It's not necessarily that people always want things faster. I'll take anything as fast as I can get it. But if that expectation is created, a realistic expectation, then I can live with it.
If we get a question of, hey, where is this? And when was I supposed to? Then we, as the sales rep for Fabicab specifically, we failed.
That's right.
That's how I look at it. It's yeah. you failed because you didn't establish that early on enough for that question to not have already been answered.
Right. Or they didn't check their email. There's a couple options. Well, yes.
There's always that exception, but yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, like, I'm always first saying, yes, what did we do wrong? Mm. Oh, check. We did it right. Well, then there was a lack of understanding or unwillingness to, you know, communicate effectively. But typically, you know, I would always go back to our rep first.
Oh, yeah. Or the people that are like, I thought it was going to be shorter, just because they're trying to get it in a shorter lead time. That's why the email is important, because then you can call, you be like, let's look at the receipts, my friends.
What, you know, you'll hear me talk about this because it goes in so many of the topics in these podcasts that we're going to talk about. Educate the customer.
Yeah.
If you educate the customer, you will never get questioned. That I preach that in our sales meetings a lot, and here's why. Here is your typical newbie sales rep, typically. Mm-hmm. All they care about is getting a sale. Well, if they would realize, if you just took 10 more minutes with that rep and educate them about our process, let me explain to you how all this rolls through our system and how this comes out and how to be able to communicate with your customer the proper timelines, because I'm educating them on here is how we do it. Yeah. When we ever have found that a customer is what they feel like has been misinformed, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What we typically drill it down to is the rep didn't take the time to educate our customer on the expectations that they should expect.
Are you giving a hint to our competition who seems to steal all of our ideas.
Yeah.
That if you really want to impact this industry as you educate the customer, is that what you're saying, Bobby?
Here's where I'm a little bit comfortable on that.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort to do that, and
it takes a lot of time.
So I'm fine to tell them that if they want to go do it. But
good luck.
Yeah. What we're going to do is for the record,
we love our competitors out there. We do. We love you guys.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. It's not just our competition. Yeah. It is the industry today, no matter what you're in. I will guarantee
any widget that they're buying.
That's right. You give me 10 companies, I guarantee you that 7 of the 10 are not, all they care about is the sale. They don't care about how the customer feels about it, how the communication is going. That's right. They're only one thing where what we've done and we've been very, very intentional on from day one here is we make sure that every person in our facility understands the other's job very, very well. Meaning that what am I going to do to the production team and to the fab shop when I have promised something sooner than we can get it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good point because, you know, in the first year or two, we struggled with that because we were so hungry and eager to get a customer that we were like, please the customer at every turn. And it was like, no, we need our sales reps, the representation of our company, to understand the impact that every decision has on, as I spoke earlier, every stakeholder, the employee, the vendor. And we can quickly negate customer dissatisfaction by making sure they know exactly, hey, you can't ask for it in that amount of time, or no, you can't request that because we've done our part and educated you on all aspects of anything related to elevator interiors. So when we have a really, what we would classify as a really strong, great customer, it's not because they just send us orders. It's because they fully understand our relationship with each other.
Yeah.
They know what to expect and what not to expect because we've educated them really, really well.
Yes. And to kind of branch off of that, you were saying like we would promise a lot of stuff. And for the record, if we promise it, we'd still do it. I mean, we would be if all of us had to go in the shop to make it happen and get that out when it needed to be get out, we would. And there were many times that happened. But additionally,
how many of us have had to rush 6 states away to deliver something that, you know, the shipping company messed off on, but we promised it. Your contract is with us. Your contract is not with FedEx. So we will make sure that we hold up our end of the bargain. And everyone here has taken one for the team.
Yeah.
Once, twice, three times or more.
Yeah. One of the things I want to say out there, and this has happened a few years back, but Zara promised one of her customers when she was handling Las Vegas at the time, she promised the customer that it would be there. And the truck did not pick up. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening is, this is a true story. Zara jumped in our delivery van, loaded the crate up and drove 26 hours and made the delivery.
We're going to put a picture. Yeah, that's the big point. She made the delivery, but Juan, we're going to get you the picture. Juan is our producer. Put that up on the podcast because it was amazing and she didn't even question it. She came to us and she's like, hey, I need to do this. And we're like, okay. It was like on a weekend or a holiday weekend or something, I believe. Yep. And she did it.
I was in California on vacation. I was in LA visiting some friends, and the whole situation went down. And then Sam, my husband and I flew back, landed at it was one of those, late flights. So it was like 11:55 PM. And then the next morning at 7:30, we were there. We're like, we're here to drive to Las Vegas today. It was a journey, but I got to do that road trip with my husband. So shout out to Sam. He was a great road trip partner. made the time go by fast.
You know, and I think, you know, a lot of the people that have tuned in to listen to this podcast, no matter what industry you're in, I think it's really important to touch on this, because a lot of times you can sit and listen to this podcast and think that every decision that we made was right the first time. And we try to talk about that a lot. I'm okay to admit this. In the very beginning, when we started the company and it was very small, I was, for a while, I was the rep that covered the whole United States. And and I would sell these jobs that
anything.
And I would sell it. I'd sell it at a 4-week lead time, and we would work our hours of the night. And this is one of many heated discussions that me and Josh have had. But he said, Bobby, we cannot maintain this. And I said, and I said to him, and I remembered, I said, hey, dude, we need to make payroll and keep these lights on in here. I'm trying to do everything I can. And he says, hey, man, I appreciate, and it's honorable, but it will not last if we set these expectations. So, you know, I wish that in the beginning that I would have maybe have heard that a little bit more from maybe some of my mentors or people that I talk with. Is that, you know, I want no one to think that me and Josh don't sit behind closed doors and very much disagree on things quite often. And it's healthy. It's not a bad thing, you know. Do you want to touch on that, Josh? I just think it's important for the audience to hear that, man.
Yeah, I mean, in that specific example, what I will tell you is the point in me saying that Bobby was doing everything that he should have done in that moment as a sales rep. We needed sales. He's right. We had to make payroll. I needed him out there doing it. But my point was, we call it customer experience here at Fabric Cab, because I don't want you to walk away feeling anything other than an experience, that you experience something positive. Even though you're just buying an elevator interior, you experience something positive. Well, in that example, to me, my point was, I believe that we offer the customer more. There's more of a customer service or more of a customer experience when we are consistent. When we tell them 8 to 10 weeks and they receive it every single time in 8 to 10 weeks, to me, that's better customer service than, yes, we can do it in 4 weeks. And then 2 months, you know, 3 months later when we're really busy, oh, it's going to be 10 weeks. And then when we're low on work again, it's like, okay, now we can do it in 3 weeks. They're going to be like, I don't know. Well, they do. All they remember is that they at one time were able to get it in 4 weeks. That's all they remember.
Yeah.
So if we just set the standard at one solid, consistent time frame, to me, that is better customer experience. So that was my push in that example. But Bobby's 100% right. There are so many things, I would say more things that we get wrong than we get right. But we're very good at learning from, we did it wrong. I didn't like that. It didn't feel comfortable. What are we going to do different next time?
Yeah.
So we're this whole journey of podcasting for us is a little out of our norm. It's a little uncomfortable. I don't want people to think that we're coming at you and saying, these are all the ways that you can do business and you should be doing business. This is just us getting our thoughts out and being able to, can we articulate what we experienced? Can we articulate the journey that we took? Because if we can explain it, then we will fully understand that we actually probably learned way more from our failures than we ever have from any success that we've had.
100%. And I feel like here at Fabric Cab, we try our best to not gatekeep. You know, there's so many new businesses popping up all the time. And if there is something, and I'm very passionate about this in my life in general. I hate it when people just like, they withhold information, just like, well, you just learned it on your own. Are there things that I'm going to retain more because I've learned it on my own? Absolutely. However, if somebody can give me some information to help expedite that process, or maybe help me to comprehend it in a different way, let's have that conversation, you know? And so that's exactly what we're doing with customer expectations. Guys, we have failed so many times throughout Fabric Cab's history. And I would say that we've always done our the utmost best to not only meet customer expectations, set correct ones, and exceed them wherever we can. But there have been times where we've put ourselves in a situation where we did. We had to work extra time. We had to do. We put ourselves in that situation. So we have learned over the years, set realistic expectations. Because if you set those straight at the beginning, you're good. You're golden for the rest of the process.
I think it was 2015. I know we're wrapping this up, but I got to say this. 2015, I believe it was, maybe 16. Josh's kids were very much young. I don't even know if your youngest was born yet. I can't do the math yet.
He was born in 2015.
Yeah. So I hooked us, and we all had to work Christmas Eve. Do you remember that, Josh?
Yep.
I'm serious. We all were in here on Christmas Eve, and my family celebrates Christmas on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And what I liked is no one complained.
Not one person.
But I will never forget when we were walking out to the car and everybody had left except me and Josh. We're locking up. Mm-hmm. We walk out and Josh just looked at me real serious and said, "Hey man, let's try not to repeat this again." And I said, kind of laugh. No, we just kind of laughed it off and you're like, "Yep, for sure, man." But you know what we done, and we still take care of that customer today. They were in a bind. We wanted to work.
Yeah.
We worked extra, but you know what was so, and I reminisce on this very much. We didn't expect anybody to stay. We thought it was going to be me and Josh all night long. Because everybody stayed with us, we ended up getting out of there about 8 o'clock at night, which is way better than 3 in the morning. So,
but you know. To that point, I'll say this in closing. I think an important piece, you referenced kids. What I'm going to say is my kids play sports and they don't care, or they'll never know. I wouldn't say they won't care. They'll never know what it takes for me to make sure I show up for them, that I have to rush across town. I may have to speed. I have to end a meeting early. I've got to do all this thing. What they care about is they look in the stands and there's their dad. That's all they care about. And if you look at it from the customer's perspective, they don't care what you have to go through, but you promised them something. And if they look over and you didn't show up as their supplier, that relationship, that trust is broken. And so Fabicab makes a commitment that we may not always give you the answer that you want, but we will always show up for you. We will always make sure that we do everything we can to make your experience of buying an elevator interior the absolute best that it's going to be with anybody. And I can confidently say that. You will have the best experience with Fabicab in buying an elevator interior, period.
What's the thing we always say here? We're always about delighting the customer.
That's right.
We're always all about
That's a Bobby original right there.
That's right. Delight the customer, but set the expectation at the beginning of how you want to delight them. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Cool. Awesome, guys. This was a fantastic. It was so good just hearing all the. It was actually really good to kind of reminisce about our, back in the days and things like that. And whoo, that road trip, man, it's in my head right now. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Going Up. And we look forward to seeing you or hearing you, listening to you next week. All right. Bye, guys. That concludes another fabulous ride on the Going Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed the elevator tales, expert insights, and the unique camaraderie that makes our show a standout in the podcast world. If you've got your own elevator stories to share or questions about the vertical world, don't hesitate to reach out to us at podcast@fabicab.com. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, keep reaching for new heights, stay uplifted, and remember, when life takes you down, there's always an elevator to bring you back up. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next floor.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.